opening day of Oaktree.
So first of all, Lux Fantasy.
She ran like 60.6 first fraction or 60.5, 55 something second fraction. I mean, it's really low. 53 third fraction. And you look at that, everybody obeyed the horse 6-5. And he and based on what we had done in here, he just flat bet against it because there were a couple horses 57-80
right
against that 55.
That was not a maiden winner.
That's right.
Race.
She just looked for place to get out at 65. Yeah.
And what?
That was at the Mountain Winners of One race.
Lux Fantasy was the name.
We had a class one day.
Yeah. Are we off the subject? Do you want to keep going?
No. The subject. We can get to the next subject. If you're winning, if you're winning with what you got, you're stupid to buy anything new unless you just like to play with new toys.
But, I mean, it must do something.
It gives you, first of all, the readouts are laid out constructively. It really is laid out. Are you using it? Okay, it is beautifully laid out. There are some whistles. First of all, the readout is laid out, all right? The bottom, the last readout happens to be a summary of the beaten lengths of the second call. And often you'll handicap a race and not even consider that. You'll look at it and say, okay, here's a horse with an early pace edge. This tells you what the early pace edge was. So it prints it out in order of who was in front, 2 lengths behind, 3 lengths behind, 5 lengths behind. So you look at it and say, okay, that's where they're going to be second call if the race went that way. That's another one. Whistles and bells on that program. If you've got anything but a 1262, it's got a scratch routine where you can run the race back through again. It's got another routine where you can call a race back up until you put a new race in, call a race back up and insert other variants or a different pace line on this horse. I mean, it's really got a lot of whistles and bells. But it lays things out graphically very well, very effectively. I'm using it. I mean, I think it's a great program.
It also allows you to wait the race, and you turn has the turn time formula readout, which we don't have in anything else, and it allows you to weight the race by your perception, early, late, or sustained, and it weights the turn time readout, and it.
And then when you pick up your machine and go to Las Vegas, and you don't have your playing tracks that you don't normally play, mm-hmm. It's got a superior automatic variant tool.
That's a big. I used to notice when I would go to Las Vegas, I was just using Tom's variant. And I'd blow into Las Vegas or go back east on a seminar, and all of a sudden, my crutch was gone. And I saw a dramatic drop off in my returns, and I saw all of a sudden I was looking at races, and I was using, I had to be so much more selective with my pace line and so much more precise. Tom's variants make up for an awful lot of little problems that you have. And if you get used to having something that's that nice and that precise and just keeps you right so dialed in, going without is just terrible. I had a lot of problems. Both Bob and I would go to Las Vegas and we'd lose. Because we were used to using extraordinarily precise variants. This isn't, I don't think it's still, no automatic adjustment is ever going to replace human judgment.
Providing it's the right human judgment.
Yeah. But it's pretty close. Well,
the wrong human judgment is worse than the
worst
automatic variant.
There's a nice safety margin.
I'll tell you, one of the things that I was talking about with, I gave Jim Quinn a ride up here last time he came out. He was saying that he doesn't...
Names. I haven't dropped a name all morning.
Yeah, well,
Scott.
He was saying that he just doesn't think there's more than a couple dozen people in the country that can really do accurate projected variants. It's a very difficult, very difficult process. So this is a very nice... nice thing to have to fall back on.
We have a couple of brand new users up here. You just got it. Well, and your first impressions. Take a look at the program here as you go on, and that'll give you an indication of the program. And then another one up here in the front row.
Tom, you said 12.
You get that. I think the beauty of it, from my viewpoint, is that second call, and you can see the beaten lengths.
And now that third fraction we're talking about a little bit earlier about, that suddenly assumes a lot more importance. You can now see which ones has a third fraction that is meaningful depending upon where they were at the second call. And of course, like you say, the cosmetics or the ease of use is beautiful.
Very, very friendly person.
Well, the turn time formula has a slightly different factor W formula. That's necessary for the variant, but the turn time formula. One nice thing about the factor W formula being different is you get a lot of ties, and you don't throw, you say that every one of these horses has a chance. You don't have like one, if you put in six. You got one, two, three, maybe one of the horses are four. So you look more at the horses and pay more attention to their subsequent readouts. Too many people see a five, Helen.
Another point. That is the factor W computation in synergism. Right now, the factor W that you're using in most of your programs is computed a bit differently than the variance. And so when I sent you the variance out, it's close, but you have a little room for error on that. Synergism computes its factor W exactly the way I computed in the variance. So you get a full value for those. So you get a little bit more value for the variant that so you're already really, using okay. through synergism. Yeah. We had talked about that earlier, about the 1-3 divided ones.
Anybody who spoke and want to go out and have a smoke?
Yeah.
Take a break.
Break time.
What do you think about this?
Without Regal, we just can't. It's a separate thing. You should have a separate book on it with a green cover, standing for grass. It's an entirely different, difficult to understand setup. And even Tom Roemer used to not like to play turf races at all and doesn't like them as much. But they are money opportunities. Marion Jones has been, our San Diego man, has concentrated on doing nothing but turf races out of the five tracks he plays out of Calliette. And he went 3 weeks at 100%, and he lost his first turf race the other day, and he went to all of Paul, he lost two of the next 10. But he's at 100% for about 37 turf races. And he wanted to concentrate on them, and play them only, to learn the difference. We all know the essential difference. It's on page 8. This is just tracking the first 4 or 5 days at Delmar. What I did here is that we've just determined mile 16 for Delmar is pretty sustained on the dirt. And I took some very sustained and dirt races to emphasize sustain, to make it even more so that this test, this example, wouldn't be cut and dry. On the dirt races at 8.5 furlongs, I came up with an average early percentage of 51.35, which is pretty much what it's been running on the dirt. That is. Now you would say, under most circumstances, that's sustained. Is. Okay, look what it is on the turf at that distance, and this is all the turf races I can find. 50.72. So even when it's sustained on the dirt, it's more sustained on the turf. Now, please don't go away that I said that every distance on every turf and every crack in the country is markedly sustained. Sometimes it's earlier. But it's usually more sustained than the dirt at the same track. One distance might deviate slightly. What else do we see? We see that at the same class levels, and these came pretty close, the average, one, if you want to look at final time only, the second call was precisely the same, if you notice, for both the dirt the turf. Final fraction was 1 second slower on an average on the turf. Okay, what else do we see? That at every level, the total energy slightly higher than it is on the dirt. Now that is common when the sustain is higher, but look down here, it's a mile. Oh, I have to have a microphone. All this is going to wait.
I wonder why I wasn't putting anything up here.
Okay, well, we're reviewing turf energy differences. We determined that from our study here that the sustained pace is more markedly so on the turf than on the dirt, even when the dirt is running sustained. You're still getting it? Broken it again.
Maybe it's on those.
I can do it. You should.
I'm sorry. Oh, Molly.
What's your chance?
Okay, well, you talk. Oh. Now, 8 furlongs and a mile, it becomes a more interesting subject because you only have 1/5 of a second difference in your final time, dirt and turf. Becomes the second call that is the distinguishing factor on dirt and turf, 8 furlongs. They run it far more slowly on the turf. Amazes me, in these dirt races were so close. Energy. Total energy was exactly the same for both of them. You don't find too many, so I only used 2 on the dirt. And they were only 0.17 apart.
You want to try my mic?
Is that what broke before?
I don't know what's broken.
So we have 2 problems. One is not a problem. If you know these facts, if you run these through your power generator, you'll know exactly what you're looking for turf energy, some other turf forces. You know it's running sustained. You know that these early forces on the turf aren't going to be around. This is why Murray Dillon was able to win so many consecutive races on the turf, because he knew precisely what the turf energy was by distance that he's tracked. He also knew it was different from a mile than it was in a mile of 16th. Now the early percentage was not that remarkably different on the turf and on the dirt, but it still was sufficiently different to make it important. Any questions now on the sustain factor, or how to determine the sustain factor on the turf and the dirt? Just look at them as 2 entirely different types of running. More sustained if this is the pattern you get. If you go to Widener turf course at Belmont, you find it's running a different energy. You don't expect this figure to hang up, handle at every track, but it will be measurable. And turf energy measurements are far more consistent than dirt. Once you get a handle on the turf, you can pretty well assume that you've got a handle on that particular distance, of particular turf course. So that's not a problem, is it? Now the problem comes is when the dirt horse is going to the turf and vice versa, and you want to know how to handle it. Okay, would you expect, since you the most sustained dirt winner does not run as sustained as the turf horse, this is the main reason for this exercise, you will not expect even the more sustained dirt horses to have turf sustained energy. Because the turf in itself makes them more sustained. So it will accent the degree that they are sustained. So what you're looking for is the most sustained dirt horses. There's certainly a thing to look away from is those early dirt horses. When horses change courses invert turf and vice versa, they generally do so unless they're at the stakes level, because they have been unable to compete on the surface to the degree where they win enough. An early turf horse gets out of the gate and goes, I got my satellite, I can watch Belmont, I'm Saratoga now. In Saratoga, they really mid-stretch, these early pace turf horses die, and then they end up sixth, and they only got less than an eighth of a mile to go. And it's amazing to watch it. So you're looking at that situation, and that horse keeps doing that. It gets out too fast, too early, and it always dies just toward the end. Finally, the owner gets his ego out of his pocket and says, I don't care. I want it to be a turf horse because that carries more status, but I realize he's not going to pay his oats. Let's put him on the dirt. And he'll do well on the dirt. A horse that can maintain himself on the turf up to the last fraction will probably do very well on the dirt. Contrary-wise, a horse that is always closing in the routes, always coming from off the pace and always showing good sustain, but never quite getting there, always just two or three lengths off. There's the horse that will do much better on the turf, because that front speed will not hold on for him on the turf when this pattern exists. So any questions now on turf dirt changes? You want the highest total energy, but the dirt horse is going to the turf, you want him to have a high amount of total energy. It won't exactly be turf total energy requirements, but it'll be the closest. You notice that the total energy at 8 furlongs is 54.04. And on the turf it's 54.22, so there's not a heck of a lot of difference. There's only 0.18 difference there. That 0.18 difference, you want to have the horse, the dirt horse, be the closest to the turf total energy. Never quite be that high. You're not going to take one, you're going to take, prefer one that's 0.25 off or 0.30 off to one that's 0.90 off. What you're looking at here is merely just an energy adjustment. The horse that runs closest to what you're looking for. Any comments, Tom, on your turf play that you know? Do it more than you did. Dick Schmidt would probably have a comment if he played top, but he never shuts up once you start.
He's never here when you want him.
Never here when you want him. Dick plays turf, and I just pretty well, so you get a comment.
That's just not my favorite surface, you know that.
Yeah, I love it.
I have to say that I find that both at Santa Anita and so far at Del Mar, it's been the most consistent for me. At Santa Anita, in fact, to me, that race was like money in the bank. I mean, it was like, I just couldn't wait for the next one, and I don't know what.
The problem with Del Mar now is the favorites are winning the turf race. Generally speaking, you get a little better price compared to these turf races. Maybe it'll change, but everybody has seen that. Apparently the closers are winning, or whatever, or the best horses.
Well, I mean, recently you've had some real outstanding class horses that were dropping out of graded or listed stakes into non-winners of three, and they just had a distinct class advantage, and that's pretty obvious. Although adorable Nicole the other day paid $13, which was probably one of the best bets in racing.
But generally speaking, you'll have lulls mutual-wise in any situation. But generally speaking, the turf pays better because you just listen to the voices around you. These damn turf horses. What are your observations on turf? We're waiting for you to have an observation.
They run on the grass.
Very good. It's
green.
The surface is green.
An observation that I was going to make on turf races is that an awful lot of people call me up and ask, I have three turf horses and a dirt horse. And they're all legitimate contenders. I've qualified them all. But the dirt horse has no turf lines, or its turf line was back in 1972. How do I adjust this horse so that I can compare its energy, compare all you know, how it's going to do. And the answer is, you can't. I just don't think you can Mickey Mouse something together, but it's really not going to tell you anything except what you want it to tell you. The way I handle these races and these horses is you just sort of have to make a notation to yourself, margin of your racing form or wherever. If this horse is a dirt horse, and you expect to see some changes, and if you can see that this horse has, if you expect it to slow down, if you ever watch the horse start on the turf, they don't get the traction if they do on the dirt, and so they can't start as quickly. The jockeys tend to approach turf races a little differently. They can't corner quite as well on the turf, so it's a whole different surface. And you can go into hoof configuration and all that stuff, but who needs it? Just know that that dirt horse is going to run a little differently, and just kind of match him up and see if he looks reasonable, then you can bet him. But there's just no way you can adjust a dirt to turf without, you're just guessing. You can make him fit if you want to, but I really think you're better off just sort of using your experience. And if you lose the race, go back and look at it, and say, where did I blow it? Was I too generous to this dirt horse? Was I not generous enough? Whatever it is. But you're going to have to learn to mix these horses in, because that's the biggest problem, I think, with turf racing. If they're all coming off turf lines, it's just another race. Sure. No problem at all. It's the mixed, and the same thing, you have one turf horse changing surfaces today. And take a look at, how do you expect a turf race to run? Sustained. I'd expect a dirt race to run slightly earlier. And then see, how does this horse match into this race? How does it fit? And expect the dirt horse going onto the grass is going to run slower earlier. And because of that, he'll have a little more left at the end. And wiki-worky, when you get the, hey, perfectly legitimate term, it's in the OED Nahasha. Wiki-worky is perfectly usable.
Whippity-whippity.
Yeah, vice versa. Go for lap. Your turf horse moving on to the dirt is all of a sudden going to find himself with better traction, and he's also going to find himself with horses that bust out of those gates a little more. So it's just something that you're going to have to learn and get a feel for as to how much of a change you can expect. Yeah.
Yeah, I found the same experience with the turf races is very good for me, except for that 6.5 down the hill. I have a lot
that's
of
that's
trouble.
Not a that's a separate world.
That's a separate track.
Consider that just that's being run on the back side of the moon, and you have to use that as exclusively as a separate race in a separate world, because sprints don't have much to do with it, routes don't have much to do with it, nothing has much to do with it.
Never runs the same either.
Oh, I found it very consistent.
You did?
Yeah, it's a good race for me. I like it, but it's you're never quite sure with a first time starter how they're going to take to it. For one thing, it's got a turn going the other way.
It's a gray horse in the 4 and 5 hole.
The what?
Gray horse in the 4 and 5
hole. I'm Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, Golden Gate in the spring, the turf races for horses that generally had a turf record, which was money in the bank, was about 80% performing.
Sometimes the turf can get real consistent.
I mean, there was low mutuals, but.
And don't get lazy on the turf and simply say, well, they all run sustained. Because Hollywood Park turf races last year ran, it's 76, and all ran very sustained. This year, the mile and eighth races up ran very sustained. But for me, the shorter mile of 16, you know, they start in a couple different spots on those races, ran a little earlier. It was more of a factor W race than a sustained race. And you're still going to have to do your record keeping and know those kind of things. And it makes sense that a slightly shorter race would run a little differently. And of course, at Hollywood, they run 3 or 4 sprints every year on the tour. But again, you're just going to have to either play those by ear or for the page. You're not missing much if you decide to pass them.
I pass most of them, and the reason for that is that
most of the turf races that you're dealing with, see, I still believe in putting the question marks down on the form if I can't answer the questions about basic form and style. And very few turf races are run without two or three question marks on my racing form. And that's when I just don't like the guesswork part of it, so I'll just go to another page. Because generally you've got some foreign horses in there, you've got some dirt horses in there. You know, the horses haven't run in 6 months or 8 months or 9 months. Now almost every race is matched up that way. The ones that aren't matched up that way, I'll go ahead and play. But for me, that's not one in every five that I look at.
That's something that I was talking about. When you have the horses switching or coming back from well, I learned to do that from Tom. No question marks, with marks in the, all over your form. And if you look up and you see a lot of marks on your form. And the other thing is, if you do make a guess, you say, well, I think this horse will do such and such. Note that down someplace. If you have a memory like I do, you're in trouble if you don't make notes. Because if you make a little guess here, a little fudge back here, and you go back to, and you do this and that on a horse, remember that you do that. If it comes up all once, don't just run to the window and start pushing money through. Note that, wait a minute, I made a few speculations here. What if I'm wrong? Go back and rethink this horse. If when you give the horse a lot of benefit of the doubt, it comes up fourth, then you're done. But if it comes up number one, you have to go back and look at the path that you took to make it number one. Because the horse didn't make itself number one, which is what we really want. You made it number one. You fudge factored it in there. So you have to go back and decide, can I live and die and bet my bankroll on all those fudge factored decisions?
Here's a point, too, before you ask. The point he made there, and because I say this every time, I'll harp on it continually, and that is don't lock into these numbers, because you're the person that made them. Yeah. And when he says go back and explore the path from the time you started the race to the time you got that number, you have to do that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, because the computer's going to grab you by the neck and drag you to the window.
Right.
And that's not necessarily good. Because
if the horse made the number and you didn't, you just looked at it, you just entered it nice and no changes. 6 furlong today, horses coming off of 6 furlong, same track, same class, no changes, no adjustments. Fine. Live and die by those numbers, because the methodology will win 70-80% of those races. But if you've made a few, you're using the interior fractions off a route, on the turf, and today's on a sprint of a dirt. And so you say, well, let's see, I usually take off two, but since it's on the turf, I'll take off three, and this kind of thing. If you're doing that kind of thing, it works, it's legitimate, but just go back and realize, and also realize that if you lose that race, it doesn't count against you. I mean, this is one where you essentially, you guessed, and sometimes you get wrong.
Just this week, I don't know what took me so long to come up with this. It seemed awfully obvious when I did it. But for just that situation, instead of entering the horse's name in the computer normally, I precede the first letter of his name by an asterisk. So when I'm looking at my